Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for our weekly Asia Insider segment. Asia Pacific's private market attracted $117 billion in net capital inflow in 2019, led predominantly by private equity, where fundraising topped $94 billion. However, the big question for the region now is where strategic value opportunities might reside in light of the fall in market valuations caused by COVID-19. Well, to find out, we're joined by Rajinder Singh, head of fund services at TMF Group. Rajinder, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
You've been keeping well?
Yes, very well.
Great. Okay, well, perhaps to set the stage, can you give us an indication of the current market environment and sentiment at the moment?
There are two parts to it. I mean, looking at it just before the lockdown globally, and then during the lockdown, and then how the future would actually pan out and so on based on our own observation and views. I mean, Asia-Pac has relatively been very dynamic, strong sentiments among investors and so on. Mm-hmm. And then it has been maturing very well over the last decades, with a lot of capital inflows coming into the region's capital markets. And it has also risen as a major investment region for global and regional private equity players itself. Naturally, when you have economic powerhouses like China and India boasting bargaining middle class groups, and then focusing very strongly on their rapid technological advancement, the region has become a source of capital and destination for investment. The performance of private equity against other asset classes as well has fared relatively well and attracted interest among a range of limited partners.
What impact has COVID-19 had then on confidence levels?
Yes, understandably, of course, COVID-19 has affected confidence levels very strongly in the markets as institutional investors scramble to manage their portfolios. With lockdowns globally in many countries, there has been a lot of challenges, mainly liquidity issues faced by the portfolio companies within the fund managers, fund portfolios, and so on. And the fund managers have are spending a lot of their time addressing these issues. On the other hand, of course, we have observed that capital raising has still been taking place, especially when the momentum was set just before the lockdown for some of the funds to be closed. This momentum, in fact, carried on during the lockdown as well. And some of these established fund players with strong network of investors and limited partners, for instance, were able to close their funds successfully. But of course, on the other hand, in terms of deployment, there was an issue. Certain countries, like, you know, for example, we have observed that in India, for example, faced by our client itself, investment could not be closed because they identified an investment, but you need to do the necessary due diligence on these investments. There has been delay in the closing as well.
You mentioned that funds were still able to be closed during the lockdown period, and I'm sure there are still opportunities to be had in the current market if you've got the cash or the investor support to do so. What about possible carve-out opportunities?
Yes, we are seeing strategic value opportunities for e-commerce and fintech. Especially e-commerce was strong before the lockdown, but then as we know that during the lockdown, a lot of transactions were actually carried through the e-commerce platform. And then, of course, on the retail side itself, e-commerce has been a kind of a driver to grow that sector as well. When in fact the physical transaction was not happening, the e-commerce was brought in. And this e-commerce would have a lot of, in fact, there would be a lot of, the supply chain management itself, the dynamics of the supply chain management might be changed going forward because of the e-commerce solutions and so on, which especially the supply chain distribution logistics side could be able to leverage on and so on and try to change their business model going forward. Apart from the e-commerce, in terms of the fintech, a lot of payments or even some of the banking transactions, in fact, has been explored and some of it has been successful, could be actually executed over the fintech platforms. And this could be an opportunity for so-called the fund managers trying to find the right partners and so on, and then, to, of course, present this opportunity to the investors itself.
Where in the region are we looking at for these opportunities?
Yes, of course. I think for e-commerce, you have the so-called the large population base like India, China, Indonesia, for example, and then of course the smaller players in the region itself. E-commerce, in fact, has not been leveraged. It is still on the infancy stage, I would say, and there's a lot of potential to build it up among the consumers itself, among the consumers, among the suppliers, among the distribution, logistics chains, and so on. And then, of course, fintech is something likewise could be done, could be actually kind of deployed in this region as well. And then, of course, some of the regulated markets like Singapore, Hong Kong, and then, for example, in Japan, Korea, which are much more mature, fintech could be a solution going forward, not only for on the retail side, but, of course, for some of the institutional and corporate players as well.
While the deal economics of carve-outs can be very attractive, an independent survey commissioned by TMF Group, your group, found that 34% of senior executives from private equity firms with buy-side experience and 27% from corporations said their most recent cross-border carve-outs failed to deliver on expectations. Can you tell us why that was?
Yes, basically when the carve-out takes place and so on, when so-called the mergers, acquisitions take place, that could be, because each of them are not aware of the cultural differences, the working patterns, the dynamics, and so on. They could have set a timetable to complete the deal, the transaction itself, especially when the integration is taking place. Many of the players realize that there could be a lot of operational inefficiencies, cultural differences, and so on. A lot of effort is actually being taken by the management on both sides to make sure that the deal is successful. So such inefficiency, in fact, result in cost overruns, results in not satisfactory results itself.
How significant are these cost overruns?
It depends on the size, the scale of the mergers and the acquisition itself. Naturally, if the scale is very large, the cost could be very significant, substantial. But if, let's say, on a smaller integration and so on, then the cost, of course, relatively would be smaller. It all depends on the size and the quantum of the deal in question.
Okay, we're speaking to Rajinder Singh, Head of Fund Services at TMF Group. Rajinder, I wanted to ask you as well, in light of COVID-19, what impact has that had on the cost of deals at the moment?
There could be valuations. Of course, valuations cannot be based on the observation from our clients and so on, based on the inputs we are getting. Valuation is an issue in the market. It cannot be determined at this point in time. In fact, because of the sentiments itself, you can't assign a good valuation, a firm valuation to the underlying portfolio companies or the investee companies or the real estate piece, for example. And then naturally those companies, because a lot of funds, they have the so-called the dry powder, they have spent a lot of time raising capital and so on. They have the so-called the necessary cash and so on. And then they are currently so-called scanning, that's our observation, scanning the opportunities presented, perhaps on the e-commerce side or retail side, even the aviation, because aviation has come to a standstill now, and then a lot of financing is required. So some of these private equity players could extend together with the financing from the banks itself. So that's an area. And then, of course, on the shipping side, likewise, there could be, the kind of consolidations and so on. So I think it's kind of an opportunity, and naturally, because of the liquidity issues and so on, they might be able to get the right level of valuations and so on the deals.
So how can investors and companies navigate M&A and cross-border carve-outs effectively in light of the current environment as well? What are you advising clients?
Based on our observations and so on, depends on the size on their deal team and so on. They have the necessary players in each of the markets and so on. And they are scanning in on a very dynamic basis, getting the right level of information. And some of these opportunities they would already have eyed before. They might have visited it and so on. And then, of course, in terms of the regulatory issues and so on, that's something they might have done the necessary homework. Of course, from our perspective, because we have a very good network of offices all around the world, in APAC, in Europe, as well as in America, and then we have the necessary knowledge as well to support our clients and in terms of navigating the complexity of regulations and so on. I mean, most of these clients could leverage on us to support them if some kind of the so-called financial due diligence is required and so on. So I think we work very closely with these players in the market, and these are the, I mean, of course, if you don't have the necessary network of the deal team across the regions, then they will look at niche areas where they are familiar with and so on, and they will try to kind of maximize their knowledge as well as keeping constantly in watch of the so-called of the dynamics, whether how the valuations, how going forward the confidence level is picking up in the market itself.
Thank you so much for your insights, Rajinder.
Thank you very much.
We've been speaking to Rajinder Singh, Head of Fund Services at TMF Group.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.